It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? It's a great day. We're studying the book of Genesis, and we're going to begin in Genesis chapter 37, verse 36. Genesis chapter 37, verse 36, and then we'll read on into the 38th chapter. So while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. I hope that that was enough time for you to open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 37. We're going to begin reading with verse 36, Genesis 37. Verse 36, and the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's, and the captain of the guard. And now chapter 38, verse 1. And it came to pass at that time that Judah went down from his brethren and turned into a certain Aldamite whose name was Hira. And Judah saw that a daughter of a certain Canaanite, whose name was Shua, and he took her and went into her. And she conceived and bare a son, and he called his name Ur. And she conceived again and bare a son, and she called his name Onan. And she yet again conceived and bare a son, and called his name Shelah. And he was at Shezib when she bare him, and Judah took a wife for Er, his firstborn, whose name was Tamar. And Er, Judah's firstborn, was wicked in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord slew him. And Judah said unto Onan, go in unto thy brother's wife, and marry her, and raise up seed to thy brother. And Onan knew that the seed should not be his. And it came to pass, when he went in unto his brother's wife, that he spilled it on the ground, lest he should give seed to his brother. And the thing which he did displeased the Lord, wherefore he slew him also. Then said Judah to Tamar his daughter-in-law, remain a widow at thy father's house, till Shelah my son be grown. For he said, lest peradventure he die also, as his brother did. And Tamar went and dwelt in her father's house. In a process of time, the daughter of Shua, Judah's wife, died. And Judah was comforted and went up unto his sheep shearers in Timnath, and he and his friend Hira the Aldamite. And he was told, and it was told to Tamar, saying, behold, thy father-in-law goeth up to Timnath to shear his sheep. And she put her widow's garments off of her, and covered her with a veil, and wrapped herself, and sat in an open place, which is by the way of Timnath. For she saw that Shelah was grown, and she was not given unto him to wife. When Judah saw her, he thought her to be a harlot, because she had covered her face. And he turned unto her by the way, and said, go to, I pray thee, let me come in unto thee. For he knew not that she was his daughter-in-law. And she said, what wilt thou give me, that thou mayest come in unto me? And he said, I will send thee a kid from the flock. And she said, wilt thou give me a pledge till thou send it? And he said, what pledge shall I give thee? And she said, this signet and this bracelet, and thy staff that is in thine hand. And he gave it her, and came in unto her, and she conceived by him. And she arose and went away, and laid by her veil from her, and put on the garments of her widowhood. And Judah sent the kid by the hand of his friend Adullamite, the Adullamite, to receive his pledge from the woman's hand. But he found her not. And then he asked the men of the place, saying, where is the harlot that was openly by the wayside. And they said, there was no harlot in this place. And he returned to Judah and says, I cannot find her. And also the men of the place said that there was no harlot in this place. And Judah said, let her take it to her, lest we be shamed. Behold, I send this kid, and thou hast not found her. And it came to pass about 3 months after that it was told Judah, saying, Tamar, thy daughter-in-law, hath played the harlot, and also, behold, she is with child by whoredom. And Judah said, bring her forth, and let her be burnt. And when she was brought forth, she sent to her father-in-law, saying, by the man whose these are am I with child. And she said, discern, I pray thee, whose they are, the signet, the bracelet, and the staff. Judah acknowledged them and said, she hath been more righteous than he, because that I gave her not to Shelah my son, and he knew her again no more. And it came to pass in the time of her travail that, behold, twins were in her womb. And it came to pass when she travailed that the one put out his hand, and the midwife took and bound up on his hand a scarlet thread, saying, this came out first. And it came to pass as he drew back his hand that, behold, his brother came out. And she said, how hast thou broken forth? This breach be upon thee. Wherefore his name is called Phares. And afterwards came out his brother that had the scarlet thread around his hand, and his name was Zerah. Now let's begin with prayer before we start the study today. Father, I thank you for this scripture. Father, many think that this scripture has no place in your word. It's probably one of the worst stories in all the scripture, of all the things that are going on, and please, Father, help us to understand your purpose, because every word that is in and is recorded, every word that's in your scripture and recorded, is there for a purpose. And so, Father, please help us to see that carefully today as we look at your word. We're going to review first, Father, in the 37th chapter for just a few moments, and then begin this study in the 38th chapter. Please, that you will guide and lead us, that you will take these words, your word, and touch every heart. If there be one that is lost, did not know you as their Savior, please that they come today and they confess their sin, and they come by faith to you, Lord, and they come to know you as their personal Savior, and they have that wonderful personal relationship with you, not just a head knowledge as most have today. Please, Lord, that you will draw all, and I ask that all would come. But I know, Father, all will not come. But I just ask today that one would come, or two would come, and they would trust in you today and walk with you today, please. Now please guide and lead us as we in look through this study and learn from it as you want us to. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The past chapter was concerning the sons of Israel. And as we looked at the sons of Jacob, the sons of Israel, and we find that they had quite a hatred for one of those sons, and that son was Joseph. He was the favorite. He had even received a special coat. And through all those things, why we find that they either lured him away, or it just happened that they were a distance from home. And the brothers found an opportunity to actually put Joseph to death. That didn't take place. They intervened just a little bit. A couple of the brothers did, and Reuben especially, that they could hopefully at some point in time return him back home after the other brothers maybe cooled off or thought about it. But instead of that, why, they ended up putting him in a pit, and they took the coat off of him and put him in a pit. And their thought was that they were just going to take animal's blood and put it on this coat and then take it home and says, we found this. We don't know what's happened to Joseph. This is all we found. Well, they knew what had happened to Joseph, but the plan was changed just a little bit, because they originally wanted to kill him. and put him to death, but that didn't take place. They ended up throwing him in this dry pit, and then cometh some Ishmaelites and others as they have come through to go into the Midianites. There we go. I couldn't find the scripture verse in verse 28. They were coming through, and in coming through and so doing that, why they decided, you know, we just as well, instead of just killing him, we just will have some money for him. And so they sold him into slavery, and this group then took him on down to Egypt and sold him. And that's kind of where we're at here. They did follow through with that thought of the coat and what had happened, and I'll read that here just a little bit. And they took, verse 31, they took Joseph's coat. I'm in chapter 37. Chapter 37, verse 31. And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of goats and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, "This have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no." So they knew it already, but they avoided the answer, I guess, or the question. They knew whose coat it was. They're the ones responsible for all this. And he knew it. Israel knew it and said, "It is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent to pieces." And Jacob, or Israel, rent his clothes and sat in sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. All the sons rose up to comfort him, but he refused the comfort. "I will go down into the grave and to my son mourning." And so he was just so struck by this that he loved Joseph. He loved him special of all, which shouldn't have been, but he did. And when he was gone, why, it just seemed like it really devastated Israel and Jacob. So as we're finished here, the father wept for him in verse 35, and now verse 36, the Midianites sold him into Egypt, and we even have the man's name, Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's, and the captain of the guard. That was his place, and that was his position. And so we kind of leave Joseph now, but we do pick up one of the other brothers, and that brother is Judah. And the story here we think was bad enough of what the brothers did to Joseph. Now we find that Judah here is, he leaves the family, so to speak. He wasn't very old, but he left the family and decided to venture out into the Canaanites. Now, we kind of had the same situation, don't we, with a daughter one time, don't you remember? She decided that she could just go down and visit around just a little bit. Judah thought he could do the same. So as Judah found his way now down into this land, into this area, and we find that he is not long that he finds a friend. Judah saw there, at first, I guess, in verse 1, he went down from his brethren. He left the land, the area. He didn't have to go too far to get into the land of the Canaanites because the Canaanites were all around him. And there was a certain, and turned into a certain, Adullamite. And that's a group of people whose name was Hira. And so now we have the Adullamite and we have Hira. Well, it wasn't long that Judah then saw there a daughter of a certain Canaanite whose name was Shua. And he took her and went in unto her. And so we find that Judah very quickly here, instead of waiting for his father to help in the arrangement of a bride, instead of looking to the source where, you know, to say, "Dad, where should I look for a bride? I'm still very young, but where should I begin to look for my bride?" He didn't do that at all. He went into the land, into the world. He found a friend in the world, and there'll always do that. There'll always be somebody that's out there in the world that's going to be a friend to you because they want you to join them. And so as a believer in Jesus Christ, you need to walk after the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to be around believers in Jesus Christ. There's so many activities and things to be involved in, whether it's ball games or social activities around the town, and many of the things are very good activities. There's nothing wrong with them. But see that you do not trade any of those activities for the activities around the church. see that you are in church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night if you possibly can. Don't ever miss the opportunity when the church doors are open that you would come and fellowship with believers and study God's Word and enjoy God's Word and grow to come to know the Lord Jesus, possibly. And if you know the Lord Jesus, to follow after Him and begin to walk after Him. Judah did not desire to sit at the feet of his father and learn the things of God. He decided to follow after the things of the world. So Judah got to doing some venturing out, and he went on into the land, and he found this friend Hira, and he got to know him real well. We're not sure if Hira introduced this Canaanite woman, but we can kind of feel like maybe that was the case, that he was introduced to Shua, and he took her and went in unto her. And so we're not really told how all this took place, to whether he returned home again with her and was married. It says that he took her. And so does that mean that he just was kind of a common law wife, so to speak, and then went into her, and she conceived and bare a son and called his name, as we look at it here, some pronounce it error, because it was an error what he has done. He should have desired to look for a woman, a wife, a mother of his children that would be of the same family, in other words, of the same line. Now, to whether you would have to go back as Israel did, go back as Isaac did, Abraham brought his bride from there, Sarah, we're not sure. He doesn't seem like he even questioned what to do. He just kind of liked the world and went right after it. And we found a friend in Hira, and then Hira probably introduced him to Shua, and now he is not only with a Canaanite woman, instead of being with his own family, he is with a Canaanite woman, and she conceived and bare a son, and he called his name Er, and she conceived again and bare a son and called his name Onan. And she yet again conceived and bare a son and called his name Shelah. And he was at this Chezib when she bare him. And so we find the location. We have the area. We have that it's a Canaanite woman. He's got a Canaanite best buddy, and he's got a Canaanite wife now. And we find that he has three children by her. And the sad thing is that very quickly now we find that Judah took a wife for Er, his firstborn, whose name was Tamar. Now, we're beginning to find some words here that may be a little bit familiar to you. I don't know if the sons of Judah, if you remember, but we can find those in Matthew here in just a little bit. Matthew chapter 1 is where you'll find a couple of those names. And then this name Tamar, she found her way also to the New Testament, didn't she? And Er, Judah's firstborn, was wicked in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord slew him. And Judah said unto Onan, go in unto thy brother's wife and marry her, and raise up seed to thy brother. It was custom of the day that if the elder of the family died without having children, then the next of the sons down the line would take that woman to be his wife, and they would have children. If they had no children, then it would be handed down to the next son, and the next son, and the next son, until there was an offspring, till there was a son that was brought forth, a child that was brought forth. And until that took place, it just continued. Well, we find here that this heir, Judah's firstborn, was wicked in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord slew him. He didn't give him an opportunity, did he? He must have been a very, very wicked man. You know, as we look back to Israel and Jacob, as we look at him and his life back with Laban and all the things that went on as he was working to get his bride and all that, and then he had his sons, and he had 11 sons and one daughter that is listed in the scripture as they were in the land with Laban, and then they headed back home into the land of Canaan here. And we know that these sons of Jacob, it doesn't seem like that he took time to raise them. Now, this is the chosen line, that the chosen family of God is the nation of Israel, and it begins right here. And you would have the opinion that, boy, they would be righteous and good and everything, and we find it to be the opposite. Only Joseph and Benjamin are the two that we would really call good men. The rest are wicked, and in some cases, very wicked. We find Judah again at a very young age, probably too young to even be married, and yet he went into this woman. He had three children by her, and I would say that he probably urged the eldest to get married too soon. In each case, there was no ability to discern, to lead a spiritual life that should have been led in the family. It was not done in Judah's case with his father, Jacob, I'm afraid. You would have thought, with all the things that God has done with Jacob or Israel, whichever you want name you would like to use, you would think that he would raise these children in the fear of God, in the fear of the Lord, but he didn't. And we have here much explanation of the wickedness that took place. And so we have this situation here, and we have the best friend in Hira, a Canaanite, and we also have a wife now for Judah, and she has given us three children, and the eldest child already has died by the hand of the Lord because he was so terribly wicked. And so as this child was put to death, then the second child was given that person, and when I say child, they weren't very old, and he was given Onan to further this family. Well, he wouldn't even do it. He was, even though it was the custom of the day, it was a request of his father, he didn't follow with that way or that request at all. And so he did everything he could do so that he was not the father of this child. And so the things in verse 10, and the thing which he did displeased the Lord, wherefore he slew him also. And so now we have two of the sons of Judah that the Lord has put to death. You talk about the wickedness and sadness in a family, that Judah would have three children, and two of the three are dead now, and they're dead at the hand of the Lord because of their terrible wickedness that they have brought on here. And then said Judah to Tamar, his daughter-in-law, "Remain a widow at thy father's house till Shelah, my son, be grown. For he said, lest peradventure he die also as his brethren did." And Tamar went and dwelt in her father's house. Now, we're not sure whether Judah at this point in time was fearful of losing his only other child. The other two that had went to be with Tamar both died. So the most obvious would be that it's Tamar. And so was he not going to give this last of his, Shelah, was he not going to give him to Tamar? Even though that's the way it was to be done. And was Judah taking things in his own hands and says, this isn't going to be? And Shelah was very young. But there's question whether he ever intended for Shelah to ever marry Tamar and bring this child. Well, Tamar, in the process of time, she got tired of waiting. And we find here in the process of time that the daughter of Shua, Judah's wife, died. In the process of time, the daughter of Shua, Judah's wife, died, and Judah was comforted and went up into his sheepfold and sheared Timnath, and he and his friend Hira the Adullamite. Now, it seems strange here, as the days were multiplied, and if you look, it is the wife sometimes the language gets a little mixed up just a little bit. And we know that that is Judah's wife that has died, and as she has died, and Judah was mourning, and in going and receiving some comfort, we find that Judah went up to the sheep shearers in Timnath, he and his friend Hira. Now, you notice Hira is pretty close by, isn't he? I still think that Hira is the one that introduced these two in the first place. He says, I got this real good friend and Shua, and I want you to, she'd make you a great bride. And again, the age here, some think that Judah was only 15, 16 years old when all this took place, as far as when it started anyway. And so he had very little wisdom. And then in bringing his children so early in age to have their own families and children, did he have such a desire that he would have an offspring that he just couldn't wait? I'm not sure. Did he realize that the line that he had was going to be the Messiah was going to come through Judah? You sure wouldn't think that he would have any thoughts of the things of God when he's doing what he's doing here, and having his children, having two sons have died already, and he seems like he's kind of protecting his third son from Tamar, thinking that she's the problem. All this is going on, and so it seems, but we do know that the line comes through this family here. And so as we come now and we look at the rest of these verses, and it was told, I'll back up here just a little bit, that remember Judah's wife had died, and Judah was comforted, and he went up unto his sheep shearers to Timnath, he and his friend Hira the Adullamite. And it was told Tamar, saying, behold, thy father-in-law goeth up to Timnath to shear his sheep. And she put her widow's garments off from her, and covered her with a veil, and wrapped herself, and sat in an open place, which is by the way of Timnath. And she saw that Shelah was grown, and she was not given unto him to his wife. Remember what I said earlier? Was there a concern that maybe Judah never intended to give to her? How long was she supposed to wait? How long was she supposed to mourn and just wait in this condition? Because Judah said, I will come and get you. I will present to you this Shelah whenever he's grown. Well, now he is grown. So you see, we have quite a bit of time that has passed as Judah has left his family, gotten mixed up with this Hira, and then got mixed up with Shua, and all this is taking place here, and all this is listed in God's Word for our learning. And look what happened when it all started when Judah left his brethren. Now his brethren, I'll tell you, they weren't that godly. But he was to stay there. He was not supposed to be out in the world. But look, as he has went out into the world, and he got involved in the world, which is Canaan, and so it just continues. We've lost two sons now, and we find that this Tira, this Tima, she's trying to figure out what to do now, because she should have been given this Shelah by now, and she wasn't. So is he just going to forget me? Is Jacob, Judah really think that maybe I'm the problem, the reason the other two sons died? Is that what they're thinking? And so nobody knows what's going on here. We just know that the promise that Jacob made to Tamar, that he wasn't holding up to his part of the bargain. And so Tamar, as does the world, she begins to take things in her own hands. And we're going to begin with the 15th verse the next time we get together. But do you see how that all this is starting when you mix those of God and mix the world, it's not long that it's all world, isn't it? And so we can see all the things that are going on here in Judah's life. You know, it's a strange thing to think that the Lord Jesus Christ comes through this line, and you're going to be shocked at the names that we find at the end of this chapter. We've already read them once. You know, I hope you know Jesus Christ is your Savior. What are you going to do about Jesus?